WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's on Wednesday. We're bringing some folks over from Coppin State, our flagship. I'm wearing my gear. It's basketball season. You can hear the games here at WNST. And we're having wise conversations around here as well. And when I went up to Hershey for the annual event with our wise friends, I actually got a scooper, and I grabbed this one. I said, this will get put to good use. I'm afraid of breaking it. I have to gingerly treat it. Dennis Curtin joins us now from Wise, and we're going to talk about fighting hunger. We're going to talk about giving because it is Thanksgiving. But I got to tell you, anytime I have you on and I have Ron on, you guys were all jealous that I eat the ice cream only with Hannah and the lady. So I'm breaking out the pumpkin ice cream. I love this pumpkin. And by the way, there was a run on the eggnog at the Maiden Choice Lane. So I just want to let you know, they're already running out of eggnog down here, Dan.
We actually make our own eggnog, as we do our ice cream. Right next to where I'm sitting, our store support center, is our dairy. And next to the dairy is our ice cream plant, which makes it easy because we take the cream from the dairy and we send it to the ice cream plant.
Do you like smell it on the days when they're doing cinnamon and stuff? Because I saw a cinnamon ice cream. I'm seeing ice creams that I'm like, I want to try that. There's some seasonal thing with like some sort of peppermint bark thing that has a fun name. But I went in and I had two choices. I had pumpkin or eggnog because we only have so much room in the freezer because my wife has been making soups. She made a beef stew. She went to Wise the other day, came home with and we made a beef stew, but our freezer's getting full. So this thing here, you can see where I melted last week with Hannah in this. So I'm going to scoop this out and get it back into the freezer. But we're here to seriously talk about Thanksgiving and giving back. And we've talked so much about the Maryland Food Bank. And every time you come on, we talk. And I have a good time talking about eating and crab cakes and all that. But boy, this is a time of the year when people in need are really in need. And people with food like you and people with abundance like me try to come together and serve people.
Yeah. If you look at the numbers nationally, 2 years ago, 40 million Americans lived in food insecurity. Today, that number is pushing 45 million. And food banks play a vital role in, you know, addressing food insecurity, helping feed people. Oftentimes, it's people who are in dire straits on a temporary basis. Food insecurity, it's in all corners, you know, rural, urban, everywhere. And what food banks like Maryland's food bank does is they support about 1,200 different smaller pantries. And that has been complicated enormously by the pandemic. Many of these organizations are operating on a much more limited basis. So it's even more important that we help our regional food bank partners. And Maryland's one of the best. They're organized. They serve an area where we have 52 stores. You've been to their facility. I mean, they logistically, you sit there and you go, these guys get it. They're running an efficient operation. They opened up a fresh kitchen. And that's the future, you know, fresh product. Increasingly, food banks have been very successful at delivering calories. Now their focus is delivering fresh calories, healthy calories.
Dennis Curtin's here. He is from Wise Markets. And, you know, we talk about food insecurity and, you know, I see it on TV all the time. And certainly at the beginning of the pandemic, all the predictions of, getting food from fields to supermarkets, sure, to people's bellies, all of these issues that we had with masks on for a year and a half. But I think in the last year and a half, and I think back to my father, I lost my father in 1992. My father stood in soup lines in 1929 up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in his childhood, you know, after the market crash. And it stayed within the rest of his life that he spent that period of time. And he's not around for me to ask, hey, Pop, was that a day? Was that a week? Was that a month? Was that a whole summer? Was that a whole year? Was it winter? Was it summer? I never got to ask those kind of questions, but I know it sat with him forever. And I think when you mentioned 40 to 45 million, I'm assuming that's 5 million people, a large percentage of those people that, like you and I, have spent most of their lives with food in our bellies, right? And right, there's a first time when this thing hit, whether it was PPP, small business, layoffs, industries shutting down, all of
service
that.
Service industry, yeah.
People, for the first time in their life, who worked in restaurants, who ate in kitchens their whole lives, right, now needed food and didn't even know that, obviously, the ego, the shame, who do I ask, where do I go, but all of that, trying to put that aside and feed people.
We did a milk donation event, holiday season in 2019, and we worked with a local pantry in the United Way, just across the river where we operate. And it was eye-opening. It was people from all sorts of backgrounds. It wasn't, it was a mix. You could tell it was some people that were, that had tough times, other people. I mean, you sense that maybe it could have been a couple of months here and there. People who use food banks don't necessarily use them permanently. In fact, they don't. People who are on the SNAP program, formerly known as same thing, they may use it here and there when they're in a tight corner, but it's designed to help them stay afloat during tough times. And gosh, with the pandemic and all the chaos and havoc it's wrought, I mean, food banks are really stepping up to the plate during this really tough time.
Yeah, I think about the SNAP folks, and I talk to my friends down in Lexington Market where they can't even use the SNAP program in various places, and it's people using SNAP. This is not a luxury. These are people feeding their families, feeding their children in many cases, feeding their parents in many cases, elderly, and people on the struggle. And this is the time of the year people are getting cold. We're collecting coats. We're doing magnanimous things. But I think, and I've heard this whole life. I'm 53. We had in the 70s, we had gas shortages, and then we have inflation, and then we have a war, and we've had all of these things. This is the point in life where it's so obvious, whether you're in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, whether you're in downtown Baltimore, whether you're watching one side of the political side or the other side,
right,
that when
yeah.
you drive out, there are more people in need, and there's more struggle going on in this country right now than there's been in my lifetime. And the first thing is, how do we feed these people? First things first.
Right. And food banks are doing a terrific job delivering meals. And as you go through the years, you see how they evolve. As I mentioned before, first it was getting calories to people in food insecure households. Then all of a sudden it's, well, let's help them live healthier lives if we can get them produce and healthier food. So all of a sudden they have cold storage and they're pushing it out that way. And other things that we take for granted but that's relatively new over the past 20, 25 years are the backpack programs. You go to a school, most schools know which students are in food insecure households because there's a subsidized federal lunch program, meal program. Either it's really low cost or free. So they can identify those families. And on the weekends, they will give that child a backpack full of easily consumed foods. And so slowly but surely, they are closing that gap. And there are some stats that they've revamped SNAP a little bit so that it's more relevant to today's American versus, say, 20 years ago when they last did the formula. So, I mean, they're making progress. And getting back to SNAP, I mean, we've all heard the story about somebody using their SNAP benefits to, buy a rib roast or a lobster. But, I mean, we know from our statistics that these are people that are buying food to feed their families. Like our number one SNAP item is a family-sized package of 80% lean ground beef. In the top 10, you'll see a gallon of milk, a loaf of whole white bread, banana.
There's no lying about this, right? I mean, this is all so digitally trackable. I always kid with my wife when I'm in different wives. I'm like, at the end of the year, when they find out how many places we've used, because everything's trackable that goes on, because you're trying to measure in your industry, right?
Well, these are more trends versus individually trackable. But obviously, we know that if you spend a certain amount, you get certain rewards. But we're focused on the bigger trends. And the bigger trends are that in this instance, SNAP customers are—they're like you and me. They're out there trying to feed their families. And there was an article in a national publication about 5 years ago that said that the number one SNAP item in America was a 12-pack of soda. And SNAP customers buy soda. They buy donuts, but for the most part, they're buying the kind of foods that, you know, center plate, you know, dinner, breakfast. So,
well, hey, don't knock the donuts. I had a donut last week. It's apple cider season.
I'm not.
Dennis Curtin is here from Wise Markets. You know, I want to tell you, we had Rob on about a month and a half ago, sure. Rob Santoni here. Sure. The Baltimore County, you mentioned the backpacking, right? And here it's sure. Baltimore County Student Support Network. I want to throw that in case anybody didn't hear it. They had an event out at the Sheraton where I used to broadcast 25 years ago in Towson. And this is literally a pantry, and it's happening in 14 schools out in Baltimore County. I was kidding the folks trying to get it to Dundalk. I said, that's where my high school is. We just opened Colgate Elementary. And, you know, I was over in my old neighborhood seeing just this beautiful palatial school that's opened in the place of my old schoolhouse that was built in 1924. So we're making things better. And, you know, part of this is I went to school with kids that whose family was struggling and they needed food. And we didn't have a pantry of food that I knew about, certainly. And I never needed it, thank God. Right. But in those days, I would say, but in the modern era, people are thinking about this. Companies like Wise and organizations like the Maryland Food Bank, not yes. only doing it efficiently, well, and with a really positive result that's measurable.
Yeah, it is. And the sort of the professionalization of their logistics, their supply chain, getting it out. That's been the big story over the last 15 years or so. And we've seen it in all of our partners. Maryland was one of the first to get there. There's a lot of strong local support for food banks in Maryland and in our home state of Pennsylvania and the other states we serve. And again, it's funny with the backpack program. I'll tell you a story. I was talking to somebody. We had a grand reopening. We were relaunching a remodeled store where we made a donation and cut a ribbon. And we gave to a school for their, you know, their food pantry program, their backpack program. And she said that they give each child the exact same backpack with the exact same products. And I said, well, why do you do that? She said, otherwise they'll be outside trading and swapping and
I want the raspberry. Give me the eggnog. I'll give you the pumpkin. Dennis Curtin is here from Wise Markets. We're talking about feeding people, and I want to thank my wife. She did come in and grab the ice cream and put it back in the freezer, so we're not melting away here. But Thanksgiving is you know, one of these reflective days where we all get together, and in this country, we share abundance. You know, eating turkey, I'm eating ice cream, and we're getting ready for this. Tell folks how they can be involved, because throughout the week, I'm not the guy freaking out on the news this week going and getting my turkey 10 days ahead of time. I have a feeling you'll have a turkey for me next week, I'm hoping. But when we go, we talk about rounding up. We talk about things we can do. We talk about buying extra canned goods, dry goods that we're going to give to our church or give to the day when we have our 30th anniversary a couple weeks from now at the Chaucer. We're gonna have a basket for a food program.
Sure.
People are doing lots of giving. Tell me how they can come into any of the local Wises and do something here while they're picking up their turkey and all the things that I love, the dressing, the cranberry, all that stuff.
There are a couple of things that we're doing that you know, I hope people would be aware of, that we want them to be aware of. On Friday, we launched our two-week Fight Hunger holiday edition of our Fight Hunger program, where we ask customers to make a donation at full-service registers. They can round up or donate $1, $3, $5, or $10. They can also make larger donations if they so choose. Those are, for the most part, $1, $3, and $5 is what they're giving. Also, at self-checkout, they can round up as well, you know, to the next dollar. What we find is that during the pandemic, we're focusing all of these monies to the regional food banks, who are distributing them as they can, you know, because of the disruption in all of food pantries have taken it's been a struggle for them during the pandemic in terms of they're relying on volunteers. You know, they may not have the capacity to have the safety protocols that bigger organizations have. So that's where regional food banks have become really, really important. And also, one of the things that I want people to know is, we're asking customers to make donations, but our company will make a donation as well. In effect, we will round up these donations so that it will be both a customer and Wise Markets donation. I mean, sometimes companies are just sort of asking customers for money and turning around and giving it. And that's a good thing. But I think it's important. We think it's important that the company have a stake in this, that they have a little bit of skin in the game. And that's what we try to do. We hope to hit all in by the time we're done with our Fight Hunger program, probably $1 million or more for regional food banks in the 7 states we serve. And also, we were talking about this offline. The Tuesday after Thanksgiving has become known as National Day of Giving. It's something that has started within the last 15 years. And so what each Wise Market store is going to do is they've selected the charity that's most relevant to them, that's most impactful to them. And for one day, they will raise money on behalf of that in terms of customer donations and roundups. And then they will match that donation with a $500 donation. Each year, one day, we come in around $100,000 combined for these local groups. You know, we send out empty mock checks. They write it neatly. They take pictures. You know, we post it to social media. Our stores, it's like being part of the communities they serve. You know, when they get involved in it, I was talking, not in this market, one of our districts, they have their Christmas party at a regional food bank. And what they do is they pack boxes. 1 year, they went through a SNAP seminar in terms of, you know, how you budget on a you know, with your SNAP allotment for the month, which was eye-opening, by the way. And then they sit down and they have a nice lunch. So, I mean, we like being part of the community. If you're a company, if you're successful, and you know this from your line of work, it's important to be part of the community, to give back to the community that has embraced you. And that's what we try to do.
Dennis, I want to ask you this. In any normal time, and I don't mean now or even pre-pandemic, when it comes to food banks and organizations like yours that deal in nothing but food, right? Food spoilage, things that are given away, dented boxes, all of the dented cans, these kinds of things. How does that work? I mean, in an organization like yours where there's so much food, $4 billion company, right? Food being sold in all these states and all these places, whether it's down in Leonardtown or in Eastern Shore, all these places out in Frostburg, places I visited your stores, in those kinds of communities when, yeah, a piece of meat's not going to go bad about the guy. You know, I don't know about any of that or even produce where the line would be for spoilage and something that could be in someone's belly a day and a half from now.
Here's what I can tell you. For the dents, you know, for dented canned products, all that is pulled back. Products that are removed from the shelves that are being replaced by other products, they are being pulled back to our distribution center. And then a food bank, not the Maryland Food Bank, but a food bank close to our distribution center will pull that out periodically.
Well, the nice people of Central Pennsylvania are being fed. That's a beautiful thing. So as long as it's going somewhere. But
yeah, Central Pennsylvania Food Bank. And then at store level, and this is a really growing program, and it's part of our sustainability program. You know, we're trying to save energy, reduce our impact. We've done a great job with refrigeration, which, you know, affects the ozone, you know, switching over to less impactful refrigeration systems. But for this conversation, what we have started to do, and this is maybe a 5 or 6 year project that has gone from pilot to a big project. If there is a cut of meat, say a round roast, that is about to go out of code in 24 hours or 12 hours, they freeze it.
Perfect.
And then it's picked up.
And it winds up in a beef stew.
yeah. And it's good
on a cold day.
You thaw it out. And you know, you're explicitly saying, look, the minute you thaw this, cook this sucker, because you know it's close coated. And that has become a really, really important part of our sustainability program, because it reduces your wastage. It reduces what you're doing in terms of filling up landfills. And we have made tremendous strides. I I wish I had the stat in front of me. It's somewhere in my computer, but it has grown by leaps and bounds. And I won't even presume to take credit for this. Many of our competitors do it as well. And it's just another efficient way of getting food to food insecure households. I mean,
well, best practices. I mean, you know, it's yeah. Sharing best practices. Dennis Curtin is here. He is a Wise Markets. My ice cream is gone, but my mug is still here. And I do have I have some remnants of the delicious pumpkin. I tell you what, there's a run on eggnog. Do you make a second batch, or is there only one run? Do I have to run around now and make special calls to get a half gallon of eggnog?
They make it over a couple of days. So it's not just one run, but I mean, they've been making eggnog in the dairy since the 70s.
All right. Well, I mean, it's 'tis the season. Yeah. Yes, I know they're going to take it away in 6 weeks from me. Get out, everybody, and make sure you're giving it Thanksgiving time. Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry.
They sell it. And it's funny. We were laughing the other day at a meeting and we were talking about fruitcake.
And everybody's like, what? Terrible. No,
I know. Apparently we sell a lot of it though.
I'll say this to you. I saw it over at the Maiden Choice Lane, and I brought my wife over and because my mom ate it. My mom died 4 years ago. She was 98. Right. She ate fruitcake, and it said the Claxton, though. The stuff that kind of came in the can that was made back in May. Yeah. Your stuff looked – like I said to my wife, I looked at it. I said, it looks kind of wet. And I mean, I'm not going to do it, but it looks like if I were to eat fruitcake, maybe I would eat this fruitcake.
Here's what they said. They said, don't laugh. Today's fruitcake versus what you remember when you were a kid, two completely different breeds of cat. That today's tastes pretty good. I'm not a fruitcake guy. There are plenty of other ways to get my calories. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people who are onto that secret and like it.
Well, it came in a half a ring, and I ain't eating all. I mean, I'll take – it's like T-berry ice cream. I'll take a gander on it, but I just don't want a whole lot of leftovers. By the way, I thought T-berry tasted like birch beer to me, so everybody gave me the hard time about the Pepto. No, I thought it was birch beer flavored, but I'm looking forward to the eggnog, the pumpkin, looking forward to the turkey, looking forward to giving. Make sure everybody realizes when we're taking care of each other here next week and doing Thanksgiving and picking up a turkey, make sure you're rounding up and shopping with our friends at Wise. And obviously, the Student Support Network is here locally. I want to make sure I give them a shout out because they're right here in Baltimore County. We've had them on, and I will continue to support them as well. Dennis, always good to visit with you. Next time we'll do some history, some travelogue or something like that as we get into the new year. But I appreciate the partnership, appreciate all you guys doing, and continuing to let people know that there are people out there supporting, people on the need, and we're all going to get together and get through this thing.
Great, Nestor. Have a great holiday. Great Thanksgiving.
You have a beautiful holiday as well. And make sure you got sauerkraut and kielbasa on that platter, man. It's Thanksgiving time. I make sure we get the right sides on all of this stuff. And make sure
I can't even get my sister to serve ham. I have no shot at that.
Well, listen, it's all open season here. We're ready for anything. I'm ready for turducken, capon. I'm ready for pumpkin pie. I've been yelling about mincemeat pie. I haven't had a good slice of mincemeat pie in a couple years. So now that you brought up fruitcake and all my mom's crazy little things she did, I'm going to be on to some mincemeat pie. All right. Okay. Dennis, thank you very much. Dennis Curtin here from Wise Markets. Make sure you're supporting them. Luke is out at training camp and getting everything ready for Ravens. We got games ahead. I'm headed to Chicago. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be in Abingdon in Harford County, Bel Air next Friday. Just confirmed, Harford County Executive Barry Glassman, who's running for controller, going to be joining us on Black Friday up in Harford County for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs. I've had Conrad's Crabs. I've never had Conrad's Crab Cake, hence the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Another Wise Conversation, another reason to eat pumpkin ice cream. We are BaltimorePositive.com.